Podcasts and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. The FBI says the man who rammed a truck into New Year's Eve revelers in New Orleans early New Year's Day acted alone. He was identified as Army veteran Shamsuddin Jabbar. His younger brother, Abdur Rahim Jabbar, says he's stunned.
Everything was just how he had always been with me and around the rest of his family, you know, full of love, well-mannered, well-tempered, helpful.
He says his brother was raised Muslim, but left the religion for many years, only recently returning to his faith.
Everything was just how he had always been with me and around the rest of his family, you know, full of love, well-mannered, well-tempered, helpful.
CBS's Omar Villafranca has more on his motivations.
Jabbar, a decorated U.S. Army veteran who served in Afghanistan, pledged his allegiance to ISIS before last summer, according to investigators. The FBI says he rented an electric truck on Monday in Houston, Texas, where he lived, and drove to New Orleans on Tuesday evening. After midnight on the morning of the attack, he placed two improvised explosive devices in coolers in the French Quarter. He posted a final online video proclaiming his support for ISIS just minutes before he plowed into the crowd on Bourbon Street.
Two people were killed and 19 hurt when a small plane crashed into a furniture manufacturing warehouse in Orange County, California. That, according to the Fullerton Fire Department, an employee there, Javier Ruiz, describes what it was like.
All I saw was a ball of fire, multiple ball of fires, and then just like fire shooting down.
A new Congress goes into session Friday with Republicans in control of both chambers for the first time since 2019. Correspondent Scott McFarlane reports from Capitol Hill.
A new Congress and the first order of business is electing a House Speaker. Mike Johnson of Louisiana wants to keep the job, but he has a very small majority and an even smaller margin for error. He can lose just one Republican vote on the floor and still win the speakership.
An appeals court has struck down the Federal Communications Commission's net neutrality rules. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur explains what it means.
For most of us, this is just a philosophical debate. It's about what the rules of the road of the internet are in the United States and whether or not companies should be forced to treat the internet like a power or water line where their job is to connect users and not to decide what they can see.
The U.S. Judicial Conference rejected a request from Democratic lawmakers to refer U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to the Department of Justice. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
It's the Packers and the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Green Bay has beat Chicago now 11 times in a row. Three Packers players named to the Pro Bowl, Rashawn Gary, and two free agents who joined the team this year, Josh Jacobs and safety Xavier McKinney.
Definitely special. You know, obviously this organization bringing in two great guys, two great leaders, and helping be a part of, you know, already successful team, and just taking us that much further, taking another step further.
NBA, the Bucks tried to make a comeback, scoring 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, but lost at home to the Nets, 113-110. Doc Rivers asked, have the Bucks played the right way since their win in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, well, honestly, I thought we have played the right way overall. Since Vegas, we've been shorthanded. There's not a lot of nights like this where we play offense like the way we played tonight, so... Yeah.
The Bucks host the Trailblazers 7 o'clock tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Tom Cruise is getting into the casting business. The Mission Impossible star is currently looking for a younger version of himself to play the role of Ethan Hunt. The next two installments of the franchise, those would be films 8 and 9, will be prequels. Rumor has it the eighth film will be Cruise's last on screen, but he will still continue to produce the franchise. Glenn Powell was initially rumored to take over the role, but those rumblings have recently been shot down. No word yet on whether or not Cruise will expect his younger self to do his own stunts. Could be a deal breaker. Sticking with the action thriller genre, Viola Davis will play the president in the upcoming film G20. Variety reports the Oscar winner will play Commander-in-Chief Danielle Sutton, who narrowly avoids being kidnapped, then proceeds to save her family and the world. The film will be directed by Patricia Riggin and drop on Amazon Prime this coming spring. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some light snow and flurries for the overnight. Mostly cloudy skies, lows in the upper single digits. Northwest winds gusty, so look for the wind chills below zero at times. On Friday, skies turning mostly sunny, remaining breezy, highs in the lower to middle teens. Right now, it's 10.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, hard to believe the one-year anniversary of Matinair on air. We're going to celebrate and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year, everybody. This is our first live show of 2025, and we are happy to be broadcasting from beautiful downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing statewide all over the great state of Wisconsin. I hope everybody had a safe and happy New Year and Christmas. We start 2025 off with a bang and a great show tonight. First, let's check in with the guy riding shotgun, the lovable producer, Conrad. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Are you? Did you have a good New Year's?
I did, yeah. Hung out with some friends up in Green Bay, actually, so.
Okay. Up in Green Bay?
Yeah.
You mean where we are now?
Here, yeah. Here.
Up, you mean across the river in Green Bay? You seem tired. Are you dragging? Did you go too crazy on New Year's Eve? What happened?
We did stay up pretty late that night.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
We went to some bars around Green Bay, and then we went to Oneida.
Oh, no. After the bars?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Did you lose or win?
I didn't win anything. Okay. My friend won about 600, though.
What was he doing? Slots?
Roulette.
Roulette. God, that seems like... There's no skill in roulette, right? It's just...
He just does lucky numbers.
Oh, God, that would drive me crazy. Because I play poker, and at least when I lose at poker, I'm losing because I'm an idiot or I do something.
Yeah.
I can't... Leaving it all to chance just seems so crazy to me. Well, that's good. Happy New Year. Did you excited about 2025?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You are a dragon, man. I think you need to start the new year off with a nap.
I did take a nice nap today.
Oh, there you go. All right. I had a great New Year's. It was very mellow. We just kind of chilled out. We played some games, got together with family, and I realized this holiday season I watched 4 zombie films. And I'm not even a zombie guy, but it kind of snowballed. My kids are home. I had never seen 28 Days Later, 28 Days Later. So we watched that. And I watched 28 Weeks Later because I know that the third one is coming out in like June, I think 28 years later. And they're both good films. And then we got on a roll and we decided to watch I Am Legend with Will Smith, which I had seen in 2008 or 2007, whenever it came out. But not for 15 years, so I forgot a lot about it. And my kids hadn't seen it, so we watched that on New Year's Eve. We started it at like 11:30. And then we watched most of, American Zombie, no, the Brad Pitt one. What is that called? World War Z. So 4 zombie films. I'm not even a zombie guy, but I got to tell you, it kind of branded our holiday season. It was a lot of fun. And they just get crazy. The zombie films are just kind of fun to watch. Because that could never happen, right, Conrad?
Who knows?
I feel like I'm talking to a zombie right now. Did you get up early? You've been here all day, right?
Mostly all day, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to be okay? Would you need a jolt of caffeine or something?
Yeah, I don't want to drink caffeine right now. Otherwise, I don't want to. As soon as I get home, I want to crash out all right. And have the best sleep of my life.
That's fair.
Well, let's try to keep you awake during the show. No, we got a great one.
I'm here. I'll be here.
All right. Well, I assumed you'd be here. I mean, this is your job.
No powers.
I think you like being here, and you get paid to be here. So all the more reason to buckle down and get through it. So we'll do that. We'll help you through it. Fun show tonight. We've got a indie film producing power couple, Antonio Polk and Marsha Dean Polk, will be here tonight. They have a studio in Door County and just finished shooting a film there called Angels in the Rye. They split time between Chicago and Door County. So they are living the dream, and we will talk to them. They will be in studio at 6:35 discussing their films. They also have a short film called Better Off Dead. And I will sit down with both of them and invite them into the studio here. We'll give them water, coffee, maybe some mints, a snack, whatever they want. Very excited to meet these two. They are making things happen, and I love indie film producers that just go all out and get their projects made, because it is not easy to do. But they've got some good credits, too, as actors and now filmmakers. And I think it's exciting that we have a movie studio in Door County. So Antonio and Marsha Dean will be here at 6:35. And then we had to postpone this talk from last Friday we were going to have Todd on, or Thursday?
I think
it was Friday. No, Thursday. It was Thursday. I don't remember. Why did we move Todd? I would never bump Todd without... Oh, Mike Clemens came in.
Yeah, I was gone.
You were gone.
Yeah.
Todd was going to be here.
Well, Todd was producing.
He was producing. That's right. Okay. I'm telling you, I am completely off track here today with the holidays. This seems like a Monday, and it's a Thursday, and Monday seemed like... I don't even know what Monday seemed like. We were here Monday, right?
I think so, right?
Yeah, it's been crazy. When Christmas is on a Wednesday, or New Year's for that matter, everything gets out of whack. But we are going to bring it tonight like it's Thursday, because it is. And Todd Michaels will be here. He is the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW and WISS. Todd has a side hustle where he investigates paranormal activity, and I'm fascinated by that. I'm not necessarily a believer, and Todd is a skeptic, but very knowledgeable and has seen some cool stuff. And I love the way Todd talks about this stuff, because he approaches it very rationally and very curiously. And I think that's kind of where I come at it, too. I'm just very curious about the whole world, or paranormal world, if you will. So I've got things to ask Todd. Hopefully he can answer at 7:20. He'll be here. Always exciting to talk to Todd Michaels. And that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to our first 2025 question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Pregunta. I love that. What is your what is the best food for an all-you-can-eat buffet? Today, ladies and gentlemen, is National Buffet Day. And it got me thinking, I love a good all-you-can-eat buffet. When I was a kid, or younger, I should say, I would single-handedly try to put a restaurant out of business, trying to get big, big savings and eating as much of the buffet as I could. I don't do that anymore, but it's nice to know. What I like about the buffet, you walk in, you have a plate in seconds, and you're loading it up, and you're going to town within minutes. So I had trouble with this one. I've been to buffets where they serve great Italian food, Asian food. And I think my favorite, Conrad, if I could start us off, will be Mediterranean food. That is my choice.
Okay.
For all you can eat, the best food you can eat for a buffet, I will say Mediterranean food. Love falafel, chicken shawarma, good, you know, lime rice, all the great things that you can get at Mediterranean buffets. Now, they are hard to find. Like, there's tons of great Chinese all-you-can-eat buffets. Lots of great Asian food at buffets. And then you've got your pizza, your old country buffet where it's all American food. And that's fine too. But to me, after a while, that all tastes the same to me. Whereas, like, although it is kind of funny too, when you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, like with a Chinese theme or an Asian theme, I love when they serve like cocktail weenies or jello or, you know, French fries. You know, that's not why people are going there, but they offer it. But I'm going to say, if I had to pick a best food for an all-you-can-eat buffet, mine is Mediterranean. What about you, Conrad?
Crab rangoons.
No, but I mean, like, what's an ethnic... You just want an all-crab rangoon buffet?
Those are the only things I look for in the in the buffet.
That is like irrational. What do you do? Just load up a plate with? So you're going to say Asian. Asian food, Chinese food, Thai.
I don't know. I haven't gone to a buffet in such a long time.
Oh,
besides
dude.
Like a breakfast buffet.
Oh, those are good too.
So I could say a continental breakfast.
I'll accept that too. That's a great answer too. This is National Buffet Day, ladies and gentlemen. There really are no right or wrong answers. Let us know what you think. What is the best food? What would you go for in a buffet? What kind of food? Could be a breakfast buffet. That's a good one too, because I find like when I go to a good brunch or breakfast buffet, I don't need to eat again for like a week.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, when you eat a lot in the morning, it tides you over. So that's a great answer too. But let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Very easy to use. A little text icon or a call icon. You can call us and let us know too if you prefer the old school voice chat. We can do that as well. We can accommodate just about anybody as long as you're part of the show. Conrad, how can people watch the radio?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, WISS, WGBW, and Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, it's WGBW or Civic Media. And on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
Here's a funny thing. All right, I'm not proud of this. I've talked about this on the show. I haven't had alcohol in a couple of years now, over a couple of years. And not because I have anything against it. I don't think I had a problem, but I just wanted to see. I'm getting older. I wanted to see what it was like if I didn't drink. And I end up really enjoying it. It's easier to wake up the next day. I do miss whiskey, occasional martini or old fashioned. But I recently, about 3 weeks ago, I discovered non-alcoholic Blue Moon. You ever have Blue Moon?
Oh, yeah.
You put an orange slice in there. I'm not a beer. I've never really cared for beer. I always went for the spirits, maybe some wine. But I got to tell you, non-alcoholic Blue Moon with orange squeezed into it. I bet I've had 100 of them in the last 3 weeks.
They make really good non-alcoholic stuff now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds weird. I'm addicted to non-alcoholic beer.
Well, that's not terrible, then.
Well, it's better than, I guess, but yeah. Because I like to have something to sip when I'm watching movies or TV late at night. I've watched a ton of movies and TV lately over this break, not just zombie movies. With the kids, we all kind of settled in. It was a lot of fun. But I think I might be addicted. I mean, can you go to AA for a non-alcoholic beer addiction? What would they do if I showed up?
I don't think they'd take you serious. I think
they'd kick me out of my ass.
They wouldn't let you go to the next meeting, I can tell you that.
I think that's discriminatory. Whatever. Well, all right, we'll talk about it. It's good stuff. I really like it. I enjoyed it, and it got me through the holidays. I had to have that beer at night to handle the stress, that non-alcoholic beer, to handle the stress of the holidays. Hey, what's your favorite food to buffet? Where would you go? Or would it be a breakfast buffet? We could do that too. Italian, Asian, Mediterranean, that's mine. Love it. I want to hear from you guys. And as you know, you could text in on anything we're talking about tonight. Really fun show. We have a power couple coming in just a few minutes. The Pokes, Antonio and Marsha Dean, will be here to talk about their new film, Angels in the Rye. And Todd Michaels joins me at 7:20 to talk about the paranormal. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I am a role model, Jerry!
You've been around for such a long time now. Or maybe I could leave you, but I don't know how. And why should
Welcome
I
back. Got ahead of ourselves there. This is exciting. We have just thinking about a buffet right now is getting me hungry. And I don't know, what would that make me? If I'm addicted to non-alcoholic beer, does that make me a non-alcoholic? I have to go to Non-Alcoholics Anonymous?
This is like new, you know, something new. Maybe you do it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. The 920 says, all of the NA beer I can find is not actually 0%. Bummer. Says Karen from the 920. That's true, Karen. They say like less than 0.5%, at least on the Blue Moon case, it says less than 0.5% alcohol. So you have to drink like, what is most beer, Conrad? Is it like 5 to 6%?
Yeah, around there.
So let's say it's 6%. You'd have to have 6 non-alcoholic beers to approach the alcohol level of 1. So I would say on average over the holidays, I had like 4 a night over like a 3-hour period.
I think you'd be fine.
You think I'm okay?
Yeah.
I can get on and drive my bike. Mark from Prairie du Sac checks it. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a phone call. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I love breakfast buffets. Conrad, you started something with that. And then she puts the emojis, pancakes, waffle, cake, donut, and coffee. Anna, dig in. That does sound great. No, I love a good breakfast buffet as well. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Guinness Stout NA is pretty darn good. Do you drink the stouts?
Yeah, I don't drink any
Those
dark.
Are very dark, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I've ever tasted a dark beer.
I can't do it.
What, just too strong or what?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't do IPAs either.
I barely know what that is. I am very much a novice when it comes to beer drinking.
IPA has all that hop in the aftertaste.
Okay. Mark says, you know what? I'm going to try again. If it's NA, I'll try it though. Cause I'm curious. I've never had a Guinness. Yeah. I don't think. Karen says from the 920, she says, you are correct. However, they still clouded my brain, even with the less than 0.5% alcohol. That's just interesting. All right. Good to know, Karen. I'll have to watch for that. All right. Thank you for the text. Keep them coming. What is your favorite? Our question of the night is, what is your favorite kind of buffet? You could do breakfast, Italian. There's a good lunch buffet where I live in Marinette. They have like soups and salads. I love Mediterranean food. They're hard to find in buffet form unless you're in a very big city, typically. But I love good shawarma, falafel, the rice, the sauces, some tahini. Absolutely love it. But what is your favorite kind of buffet? It is National Buffet Day, so we are rejoicing in the all-you-can-eat. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I don't normally do buffets. Probably better off for that, Monica. She says, let's just say sneeze guard and leave it at that. But I do make an exception for Indian food because there are a lot of vegetarian options. It's delicious, and there's usually mango ice cream. Oh, very nice. Worth it just for mango ice cream. On an unrelated note, I forgot to listen to your Christmas show despite emailing a story because my mom showed up a day early. Is that episode available for replay? Couldn't find it on your website. Thanks and Happy New Year. Thank you, Monica. Happy New Year to you as well. That should be on the website, right, Con? We did. I remember reading Monica's story. It was very funny.
Yes. Yep. I'll have to check that out.
It was about a Christmas tree and someone got behind her and they fell or something like that. It was a very funny story. So thank you for submitting that, Monica. We did read it, and it should be available. We'll try to find out before the end of the show. 262, listening on WAUK, says Chinese. Yes. Love a good Chinese buffet. We get two of them in Marinette. And I don't know. I tend to overdo it at Chinese buffets. I don't overdo it as much when I do a Mediterranean buffet. Ronnie from Horicon says, Pete, Athletic Brewing Company, Free Wave Hazy IPA. It's delicious. I assume Free Wave means no alcohol. But I will look for that too. Thank you, Ronnie. And now I don't know, should I become like a non-alcoholic beer connoisseur, even though I didn't really ever drink beer before this?
Athletic Brewing Company has a lot of non-alcoholic beers. Yeah.
Okay. You could have one like on the sidelines if you're an athlete.
Exactly.
There's no alcohol. Just chug a beer. I love it. Bill from Green Bay says, seafood buffet. Yes. Crab legs. Remember that story? Who was telling us that? Oh, Bill Gorgo told us that Monday. The worst gig he ever did was a New Year's Eve gig.
Yeah.
Where it was all you can eat crab legs. And all he could hear doing his act was people cracking the crab legs, like 300 people. Bill continues saying, crab legs, bacon wrapped scallops, shrimp haddock, lemon, melted butter. Oh, man. Conrad, see if we can find a seafood buffet after the show.
Sounds good.
To make a road trip. All great stuff. Keep those texts coming, folks. Always more fun when you're part of the show. We're going to talk some independent film at 6:35. Antonio and Marsha Dean Polk are here to talk about their film, Angels in the Rye. And they used some Northeast Wisconsin actors. Our friend Kirk Krause was in the movie. And they filmed it primarily in Door County. So we'll talk about that. They have a studio there. That's exciting for Northeast Wisconsin. Any film activity we can get here in Wisconsin is always good. So we'll talk to them in just a few minutes after the news. And then Todd Michaels joins me at 7:20 to discuss the paranormal. Always fun to talk to Todd. It is dry January. Is anybody doing that? If you're doing dry January, text me and let me know. I'm kind of dry already, but I wonder if dry January, like, has ever been successful. Like, do people quit for a month and then stay off the sauce? I don't know. You ever give it up?
You know, it depends on what you mean by dry January, because my skin's very dry and it hurts and it sucks right now.
Maybe that's the
thing. I want to give that up.
I think a lot of alcohol will help dry skin, typically. So
okay.
Rejoice. Dig in. Lots of fun stuff to get to tonight on the show. As I mentioned, really fun guest tomorrow night too. Rob Thomas will be here and Mike Clemens is coming back. Our Civic Media Sports Authority. Big weekend, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Bear Packer weekend. And are the Packers going to play their starters, Conrad?
Yeah. They are. They want to try to win that game.
At least for a couple. But does it matter to them?
Well, yeah, we can get a higher seed maybe.
Okay.
But other stuff has to happen.
Oh, man.
But we need to win first, so.
You got the Mighty Bears coming to town. Good luck with that, buddy.
I'm scared.
They'll all be drinking real beer on the sidelines. All right, coming up, we have some independent film talk after Civic Media's outstanding news team keeps you informed and tells you what you need to know. Antonio Polk and Marsha Dean Polk will be here when we come back in the studio. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report. The brother of the man who rammed a truck into crowds on Bourbon Street in New Orleans early New Year's Day says he's in shock about what happened.
Everything was just how he had always been with me and around the rest of his family, you know, full of love, well-mannered, well-tempered, helpful.
Family and friends of the 14 victims are remembering their loved ones and dealing with the aftermath of the attack. CBS's Katie Weiss.
A cousin of one of the victims, 25-year-old Matthew Tenodorio, reflected on the tragedy.
We still haven't really wrapped our minds around that. A terrorist attack took our Matthew away.
Correspondent Tony DeCopo reports on the investigation.
The FBI calling the attack here premeditated and evil. They also say new evidence, including video posted to social media, shows Jabbar was, quote, 100% inspired by ISIS.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Packers and the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Green Bay has beat Chicago now 11 times in a row. Three Packers players named to the Pro Bowl, Rashawn Gary, and two free agents who joined the team this year, Josh Jacobs and safety Xavier McKinney.
Definitely, it's definitely special. You know, obviously this organization bringing in two great guys, two great leaders, and helping be a part of, you know, already successful team, and just taking us that much further, taking another step further.
NBA, the Bucks try to make a comeback, scoring 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, but lost at home to the Nets, 113-110. Doc Rivers asked, have the Bucks played the right way since their win in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, well, honestly, I thought we have played the right way overall. Vegas, we've had since Vegas, we've been shorthanded. There's not a lot of nights like this where we play offense like the way we played tonight. So, yeah.
The Bucks host the Trailblazers 7 o'clock tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Hollywood has a reputation of being progressive, but as a recent drill down would indicate, that isn't always the case. According to Variety, despite women directing some of 2024's critically acclaimed hits like Baby Girl, The Fire Inside, and The Substance, overall, women directed just 16% of the 250 top-grossing films from last year. That is about the same percentage as 2023. When you drill down even further, women directed only 11% of the top 100 grossing films from last year. 23-year-old music phenom Billie Eilish had the most streamed song of 2024. The song Birds of a Feather off Eilish's third album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, was streamed over 1.75 billion times on Spotify. The song was written by Eilish and her brother Phineas. Birds of a Feather has been nominated for three Grammy Awards, including Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best Solo Performance of the Year. Looks like I got shut out again. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy and cold today, our high in the mid-teens, but the wind out of the northwest at 10 to 20 is going to keep that wind chill below zero all day long. Tonight, mostly clear, down to around zero for a low. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high once again in the low to mid-teens. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk the Packer-Bear matchup with Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. Then Rob Thomas drops by to talk movies and TV. Now that's a Friday. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I just threw a question at the Pokes, Conrad. the last minute, I realized. They're like a power couple. But then I thought, well, they don't have to be married to be a power. You and I are kind of a power couple, but there's nothing going on romantically. Yeah. Make that very clear. Yeah. So anyway, but my next guests are in the studio now. They are married, as it turns out. And it's my pleasure to welcome Antonio Polk and Marsha Dean Polk.
Hey, man. How you doing? Thanks for having us.
Doing great. It's great to have you guys here, although it was not a long drive for you.
It wasn't. It was, probably about
40 minutes.
What would you say, 40 minutes?
About 40 minutes.
About 40.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Door County's not that far. And I love that you guys have you have a movie coming out. We'll talk about that. You actually have two films coming out, a feature length and a short film. Yeah, we'll talk about both of them.
Yeah.
But first off, I have to ask you a very important question. Do you have a favorite kind of buffet? That's our question of the night.
A favorite kind of buffet?
Like an all-you-can-eat buffet, certain kind of food or breakfast buffet. It's National Buffet Day.
Mm. I would say probably seafood.
Seafood. Okay, that's another
like crab
vote for seafood. Yeah.
King crab. Not the snow crab.
Not the crappy not the lesser crabs.
Not the lesser crabs.
Well, it has to be pasta for me.
Pasta, see, yeah, I like pasta too, but I don't think I can go back for like thirds and fourths if I'm eating pasta.
Yeah, it's kind of heavy,
but it's good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Now that we got that out of the way, let's talk some some movies here.
Yeah. Man.
So you're both... You guys have a couple films coming out. Let's talk about the feature film first. It's called Angels in the Rye. Right. Antonio, you directed it. Marsha Dean, you produced and wrote?
And wrote,
And you're both in the film.
She executive produced
it. Executive produced.
I produced it, and I directed it. And
okay.
And I starred in it.
Got it. Yeah. All right, so tell me about Angels in the Rye.
You want to start, Hunter?
Sure. First of all, I want the audience to know that it's a novel.
Okay.
It can be bought on Amazon. It's my first novel.
Oh, nice.
And it was such an excellent piece. That's what I was hearing from all the readers.
Yeah.
Because everybody said, I could just see this as a movie. I just would love to see this as a movie. I was there. That gave me an idea. Okay, well, let's try it. I did the screenplay for it. And we were off to the races, Antonio and I.
Yeah. She presented me with the screenplay, and I was kind of blown away by it because it was so original and I'd never really seen it.
Huh.
I had to make some things happen in order to shoot the film.
So, all right. So you wrote the novel,
yes,
and then you wrote the screenplay. I don't think that happens that often, where it seems like it's always adapted. What was that like for you adapting your own work into a different medium?
Okay, so I think because I wrote the book, doing the screenplay was very, very easy.
Okay.
And it was even more so easier for me because the book itself is so descriptive. The book itself is very, very descriptive.
Yeah.
So it was easy to draw from it for the screenplay.
Okay.
So it was really quite easy for me.
Was it hard to edit it down? Because the screenplays are 120 pages. Books can go on forever. Was that a tough adaptation, so to speak?
It was a challenge a little bit because, as I read the screenplay, I'd seen some things that worked. I was really, like I said, blown away by it, but I knew that there had to be some chopping down, like you said, so we came down from like 120 pages or something, honey, to about like maybe 98 pages or something like that. So
yeah,
that's a good length for an indie film too, right? Because the lower you can keep your pages, the more effective you can be, I think, filming it. Okay, Antonio, you said the first time you read it. Is this something that had been sitting around for a while? Did you encourage Marsha to adapt it? How did that work?
Well, she told me that she had a, first of all, we met at a table read. We were both in a different film.
Okay.
And when she walked in, she seen me and first thing she said was, "Wow, you look like you can be my Paul White." And I didn't know what she meant by that, but it was a character in the film named Paul White.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I read the screenplay as time went past and I, like I said, I was just really blown away by it. And I had to do some things in order to make it turn into a film. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty, I think when you walk into a room and someone already is casting you in a role. That's a good sign.
He was like the perfect Paul White. I envisioned it. I seen it. I had been looking for my Paul White. And when I saw him, I was like, there's my Paul White. Oh, he didn't. I don't think he took it seriously.
No, I didn't. And I thought she was actually trying to hit on me.
Well, you guys ended up together, so something
was there, right?
It was weird because she said, "You look like my Paul White," and I said, "You like you could be my wife."
Whoa,
really?
And there you go.
But so when I read the screenplay, I was like I said, I was really taken by it because the whole idea of what was going on, so many twists and turns and things of that nature, and like I said, the originality of it is what really captivated me.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us about the story. What is Angels in the Rye about?
Okay, Angels in the Rye is the story of love, hatred, unforgiveness, all the way to forgiveness. Some CSI is in it.
Oh, okay.
It's just a lot going on, and that was the goal. We evoked emotions,
right?
Especially from the audience that had gone through some of the things that they're going to see. That way they can release some tension by watching it and seeing that if this character made their way through, maybe it would give them an idea how they can get through it.
Right.
And that was very, very important to me to really evoke the emotions of the viewers.
Here's what it says on your IMDb page, a brief synopsis of the film.
Yeah.
A teenager's life crumbles after abuse leaves her with a child in inner turmoil. Forced to confront a harsh world, she struggles to overcome her past and take control of her life again. That is heavy stuff going on there.
So it was this young lady named Karen, and her and this young man named Paul White were like childhood sweethearts. And Paul White came back from the army one day, and he seen her after some time went past. He seen Karen, and he lured Karen into what they call a neighborhood book barn.
Yes.
Kind of like a barn that they kind of played in when they were kids and things of that nature. And he lured her in there, and he ended up having his way with her. And she ended up getting pregnant, and it turns out that she ends up resenting the kid because the kid looks so much like Paul White. And
the fact that he had his way with her, that was a lot for her to overcome.
Right. Even though it was kind of like I don't even know how to really pinpoint what I'm trying to say as far as how she it was like she wasn't really trying to get him off of her, but she didn't want it to go that far. You know what I'm saying?
It was like a little kiss, little thing.
Yeah, right. Okay. Led to something bigger.
Right.
You know.
But very inappropriate and very.
Exactly.
Okay.
And she didn't know how to really kind of break up that moment. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But she resented him.
So what made you. Okay. So you got this script. You're going to direct it. You're going to produce it. Or executive produce it.
Yeah.
What made you decide to film it in Door County? Is it set in a more rural area or vacation area, that kind
of
thing?
Well, Door County has a lot of country feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when I actually moved to Door County, the first thing I said to myself, man, this is a beautiful place. This would be an ideal place to shoot a film. And I ended up shooting two films there because it's just the beauty of Door County and the rural areas that it has in it, and some country areas, some city feeling areas, but mostly country. And this story takes place in the South.
Mm-hmm, in the South, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't want to go too city with it. So we looked at four places that could definitely work for Memphis, Tennessee.
Interesting. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what made us go with Door County.
And have you shown the film to anybody yet? I know you haven't had, I don't think you've had official screenings yet, have you?
No, we're actually still in post.
Okay.
With both of the films, Angels in the Rye and Better Off Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So has anybody, do you think anybody will question that? You just kind of let the cat out of the bag here, but I think, people do that all the time. Filmmakers do more cost-effective things to double places for another place.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah. Like in Canada, you know.
Right.
Times they would use Canada as there's certain places in Canada that resembles L.A.
Yeah,
and since you're from L.A., you I don't know if you heard about that or not.
But, yeah, there's a lot. Well, listen, Canada has taken a lot of work.
Right.
from the United States. And I mean, they had very aggressive about getting it. Now we have states here that compete with that with tax incentives and all that. We can get into that later too. But you guys are the first people I've met who have places in Door County and Chicago. A lot of people from Chicago find their way to Door County. Where do you, and you're both actors too, from Chicago.
Yeah.
Where do you prefer, where do you find inspiration more? A place like Door County or Chicago as actors and as creative types?
I would say, I mean, I don't want to compare Door County and Chicago. I mean, because each place has its own advantages. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, if you want to cast, if you want to, you know, when it comes to casting and things of that nature, then I primarily, you know, want to stick to Chicago and things.
Right.
But so, and a lot of the cast that is in both films are from Chicago and Door County as well, but primarily from Chicago.
Did you have any issues finding, like, you know, there's a substantial amount of people, I guess, in Northeast Wisconsin, maybe 500,000 people to draw from. Did you have luck finding good actors locally? Because that always helps when you don't have to bring people in and pay for their, to put them up and all that kind of stuff. Did you have good luck finding local talent?
We didn't have to really cast a whole bunch of local talent, but it was easy because my brother lives here. So he was, my brother Michael Polk, he's one of the actors that's in the film. Then I got some friends and so on. And so I just kind of threw people in certain parts. You know, Kurt Krause actually is in our film as well.
Yeah, Kurt was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was strange how we met too, because we kind of met at a gathering where there was a bunch of producers and things of that nature, and all came together, producers and directors and actors and so on. And I didn't even know that Door County had that meaning. When I first came here, I had no idea Door County offered anything, really. And then I eventually seen Kurt later on, again down the line at the Y. I was... Something made me want to take a swim that day, and I know. and I'm like, honey, this guy, this is the same guy that was at the gathering that we went to last week. She's like, no, he's not. I'm like, it is. I recognize that smile, you know,
right?
And we started just talking, and I'm like, you know what? You really look like you can fit this one character that I'm looking for. In our film, and it was a waiter, so he played himself as a waiter.
Okay. Kurt's like Aquaman. He swam the channel there in Sturgeon Bay, and then he's running him at the pool.
Yeah, exactly. He has a film coming out called Amphibious, I believe, as well. Yeah,
that's right.
So he's
morphing into a sea creature somehow right before us. My guests are Antonio Polk and Marsha Dean Polk. They are the creative force behind Angels in the Rye, which will be out soon. They're currently in post-production, and it was filmed primarily in Door County. How much would you say was filmed there as opposed to Chicago?
What would you say?
I would say probably only 20%.
Was filmed in Door County?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
About 20 or 30.
So it's mostly an urban setting, more or less?
Mostly in Chicago, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, we had to squeeze Door County somewhere.
Well, we're going
to... We filmed in Egg Harbor as well. So
beautiful there.
So, so we filmed in Egg Harbor. We filmed in Sturgeon Bay. We filmed at Piranha North Studios. At my DP over there, Aaron Fisher, was kind enough to let us do a lot of filming in his... It was just a wonderful experience.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you about some of the contrasts and how different it is shooting in Door County in Chicago and the cooperation you get. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about another film you guys have coming out, a short film called Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
My guests are Antonio Polk and Marsha Dean Polk, and we will be right back with more from this power couple, if you will, on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide all over the beautiful state of Wisconsin from downtown Green Bay. Todd Michaels coming up at 7:20 with some paranormal talk that I'm very excited about. It's always fun to have Todd on the show. Our question of the night in honor of National Buffet Day, what is your favorite all-you-can-eat food? We've gotten some good texts. I would say seafood is leading the way so far, or breakfast buffets.
Yeah.
But weigh in at 855-752-4842, and we will read your text on the radio. Conrad, what is this obscene picture somebody sent us?
I don't
or was
even,
that you?
That was not me, no.
Cam from Appleton.
I have no idea what that is.
It's some guy. It looks like a bodysuit. I hope to God it's a bodysuit. Some guy on the toilet. So, all right, Cam, thanks for weighing in. Boy, he must have a collection of photos at his house. My guests right now are director Antonio Polk and executive producer and writer Marcia Dean Polk. They are the creative force behind the film Angels in the Rye. So we were talking about right before the break. Is it you said you filmed about 20% in Door County of the film there, and then 80% in Chicago.
Yeah.
When you're filming, especially in an independent budget, where is it easier to film? You have access to more in Chicago, but you might get more cooperation in Door County. How did that work for you guys? What was the experience like?
Well, I think primarily since most of our actors were in Chicago, it's easier to film in Chicago.
Okay.
Because we didn't have to ship a whole bunch of people up from Chicago to Door County every single day. I think we had a total of, I think we filmed about, a few months?
Where, in Chicago?
No, just in general.
I would say, a few months.
Yeah.
Probably a total of 35 to 40 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were people cooperative in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to Door County? Because in my experience, like when you film in a small town, at first people bend over backwards. They're excited to have a movie set. And then it's kind of like they become kind of jaded like they do in big cities.
Well, when you start telling people about yourself and they do their research and such, it makes them more so jump on the bandwagon.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
sure.
So being that I'm a feature film and TV actor as well.
Right.
You know, I would go in and say, hey, look, I'm a feature film TV actor, I'm a producer, so on and so forth. And they do the research. Hey, can we film here?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And so they'd have me come back in a couple of days after they do the research. Oh, yeah, we'd love to have you.
Oh, that's so
you
cool.
know, so yeah. it, I just kind of took that and used that and ran with it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Marsha Dean, you talked about, you wrote the story, you wrote the book, and now it's the movie. Where did the inspiration from the story come from? Without, you can be as open as you want to be here. Was this a very personal story to you? It's pretty heavy subject matter.
Yes, and it is a very personal story. And it starts from a real life event.
Okay.
That happened within the family. And so from that, I wrote the story, but I also wanted to find healing in it. And writing the story, I got some healing from it.
It was therapeutic just to write it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that if I can get some healing from it, so can someone else.
Yeah.
You know, so can the audience.
Sure.
And that was the main goal of it.
How did you feel after you wrote it? Was it good to get that out of your system and to put it to paper?
Yes, it absolutely was. It made me understand a whole lot of things that I really hadn't thought about.
Right.
It all made sense in the end. And that's how I wanted Angel and the Rye. And by the way, Angels and the Rye is, the meaning behind that is, if you allow, there's an angel out there waiting to guide you and love you through life. And so that is pretty much the end result of Angels in the Rye. That's what I wanted to sell.
Oh, wow. That's really heavy stuff. And sounds very inspirational, too.
Yeah, it is very inspirational.
There's a lot of twists and turns in the film, like I was saying. So this Angels in the Rye thing, I thought was a perfect title, because every time somebody had, you know, experienced something bad, then somebody else came along and kind of turned that whole situation around and made it. And they were presented as an angel to this person, and so on and so forth in the movie. So you'll find a whole bunch of nuances in the film that kind of, you know, gives that feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, kind of like in a real human, like, angel way.
Yeah.
Nothing supernatural.
Like just coming from the sky. Just right. Nothing.
Just what people do.
Right.
Just allowing the help to come into your life and how beneficial it can be. It's what people, you know, have to learn to do.
They're there.
They're there.
To look for them.
They're
right?
There.
And
right.
Sometimes you don't notice. People do something nice for you and you don't even get it.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah.
Really interesting. You guys have a press day coming up. Indoor County. Is it Indoor County on January 8th?
It's Indoor County.
Okay.
It's in Sturgeon Bay.
Okay. All right. Is this something people can go to, or?
It's not open to the public.
Okay.
It's open to the press and so on.
Okay.
But not to the public. We have myself, we have Marsha, we have my DP, we have my script supervisor, we have just production people and just the media coming in to do basically what we're doing right now, to talk about what we, you know, our upcoming films.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's so cool. All right. So we'll talk more about that. And then I want to ask you guys, after we do the news, where you get your funding, not specifically, but on the indie trail, when you're trying to get a film made, it's so hard.
Well, you know what? And that's why you don't. That's why you fund your own films.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's where we get our funding from, us.
You wrote a check to yourself.
We wrote a check to ourselves.
Yeah. Believe in yourself.
If you don't
believe in yourself, who's going to believe
in you? Look, I believe in me. I don't think my bankers believe in me. They write a three-party post-dated bad check. They're not
right.
going to cash that, right?
Yeah. No, because if you're trying to get funding from other people, then you have to have this whole, you know, this whole rundown on how they can get their money back.
You got to set up a business, right. Basically,
exactly.
Just
yeah.
for
right.
one film.
So,
yeah.
So we just figured we cut out the middleman and just kind of, you know, fund our
nice.
Films ourselves.
I'm envious. All right. The Polks are here. Antonio and Marsha Dean. We'll have a few more minutes with them. I'm going to ask them about their acting careers, too, because you've done two out of the three Chicago shows I noticed on your IMDb page. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after the news. Civic Media's news team is about to tell you what you need to know. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I met you, let my eyes caress you until I meet the doll, Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there, but probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special TGIF edition of the show. Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, will be here with a humorous look at the week in review. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert.
Right.
Yeah. That was the,
That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. New Orleans is returning to normal after this week's deadly truck attack. Bourbon Street has reopened. Resident Joseph Amato is proud of his city.
We're not going to be scared or terrorized. New Orleans is going to keep going like we always do.
CBS's Katie Weiss has the latest on the investigation into the attack.
The FBI says Shamsuddin Jabbar rented an electric truck on Monday in Houston, Texas, where he lived, and drove to New Orleans on Tuesday evening. After midnight on the morning of the attack, he placed two improvised explosive devices in coolers in the French Quarter. He posted a final online video proclaiming support for ISIS just minutes before he plowed into the crowd on Bourbon Street.
There are also new details on the Cybertruck explosion in front of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. More from CBS's Adam Yamaguchi.
They're calling it a suicide. The man identified in the explosion.